Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. For all my people that's hungry.
A nigga need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Here to keep a scene for yourself, son, shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stress over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God.
I feel the winter heart creeping. Vicious is the wind, which is life when it's deep without a meaning. A tripe scene of screams, niggas fiending. The pipe dreaming, some be seeming like the only way to keep breathing in the slums. But nothing comes, and keeping funds is like dreaming. My situation, no solution. Even the young become demons. Where I'm from, shit is unyielding. Something like 300 million gun wielding. Black rats trapped in one building. With low ceilings and no feelings. Cutthroat villains, dope villains. And glossy eyes of villains. Sunken faces and powder traces. My people slave for the basics. The powerless devouring in a matrix. The politics pimps and glass pipes. From gun blasts to flicking off blunt ass to cash heights. The fast life where the have not rule. Sick and grab plots, toting tools. Pick the last spot for jewels round the world. You stay stuck in captives, shackled. And crackers got homes like castles. I figure the only way this nigga got to go is where I plot and look for liberation. Stock and cap sad.
A nigga need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Here to keep a scene for yourself, son, shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stressed over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God gon' help. You need food. You got to have food for your health, for your health.
Hearing gun claps for thunder, see my childhood peers, catching years in the numbers. I wake up from hunger, try to lift the stress that I'm under. How I made it this far makes me wonder. You in a fight for your life, for basic human rights. Can't afford the booming prices, it's economic crisis. Life is a sacrifice, I'm down to my last bag of rice. They forcing us to live like laboratory mice, like fucking laboratory mice. That's right, you wear the camouflage. But do you choose to live the soldier's life? I said before, this is a war, not a play fight. Taught to be a slave from the womb to the grave site. Some of us even share the views of the Canaanites. Trying to be white, but they gon' lose in this game of life. So dead that, I tie my dread back and scheme. Put a star on my red, black, and green.
A nigga need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Yeah, to keep a steam for yourself and shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stress over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God gon' help. You need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Here to keep a steam for yourself, son, shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stress over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God gonna help. You need food.
Pay the bills. Put food on the table. And put clothes on your back. You understand? Pay the bills. Put food on the table. And put clothes on your back. You understand?
What do power mean? Our team seem to think it means power cream. Cause our dreams got us fiending for the power, son. And you and peace that political power come from the barrel of the gun. What do power mean? I believe in thieving and smoking weed. Everything happens for a reason. I hope my seed grow up and get even. It's open season. And if you pour it black, you know the reason. Yeah.
Out here fighting for the basics,
trying to get all we can get,
trying to get food on the table,
bang.
Clothes on our back,
make sure we can see
pay these bills. That president,
for the future.
That's to come up for us. Food, clothes, and shelter. Ain't no need to even say nothing else.
Load up.
Whatever may happen.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. This is Dare to Heal at Ask Life Coaching Ministries, and I am your host, your revolutionary master healer. Let me get a breath. Today, as I've been advertising for about 2 to 3 days now, I've been talking about these different things. I've been doing a series. First, it started on to my Facebook Live, and on my Facebook Live, I was kind of dabbing into some things. I wanted to kind of talk about how we know when relationships are over. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it almost feels like when someone is breaking up with us, and that's a separate topic. But at any rate, nevertheless, sometimes we'll feel like you know, we're overwhelmed or we're hit with something that we didn't know was coming, and out of nowhere, someone possibly breaks up with us, okay? So, but we ain't talking about that right now. But what we are talking about is knowing when, you know, relationships are over. And I've been getting an overwhelming amount of pretty much inboxes in regards to that. I've been, a lot of my clients have been inboxing me, or just your general people, just asking me like, hey, you know, what do you think about this revolutionary master healer? That's what you are. What is your thoughts on that? What do you think that I'm supposed to do when I'm being hit with a possible my relationship being over? And what do I do? What do I do? How do I know? How do I know, more importantly, how do I know when my relationship is over? Who led me to this point? What led me to this point? Or not just that, when someone says that it's over, or when I say that it's over, when you're taking control and you're saying, hey, this stuff ain't working. This is not working. I'm not happy. I don't know what you're doing. So let's call it quits. So at any rate, of course, you all know me, your revolutionary master healer. Ask. You know that I go and read these articles, and I get to dipping and dabbing, and I always use my own experiences in the works. So based upon this particular article that I came across, and it's kind of a fairly old article. This was back in 2013, in January the 19th of January. So, you know how when you first meet somebody, you lay eyes on them, you're like, wow, this is the king, this is the queen, I really love you, we're really connected, our souls are a match. You send your representative, and they send their representative. So, you know, equally, about 6 months down the line, you still like, oh, well, I'm still here. You all still smile a little bit at each other, maybe a little wink. After a year progresses, you like, oh, God, I'm still here. Why am I still here? And where are we going to, right? And so, you know, for whatever reason, y'all have been through some changes. And so you stay and you say, well, I'm going to work it out. You know, it's going to get a little bit better. I don't want to just up and do a diving contest on this person. So after the second year, you're like, hell no, this is just not working. I'm not happy. Oh, my God, who is this person? I have never met, seen, dealt with this person. This person is narcissistic. I don't like their energy, they're abusive, they're this, they're that, they're weak, whatever. You're just not happy. So let's talk about a couple of things in reference to knowing when a situation is just not a comfortable zone. So it's really important that you, of course, can tell when your relationship is somewhat over. Okay? And also, if you all get that video that I have. I have a video book that talks about breaking up. How do you deal with a breakup? But it's not called that. So definitely get that. That is definitely worthy of your time, because I also tell you and teach you how to deal with breakup, pretty much, right? So anyway, so one of the questions they asked that's important, they said, in your heart of all hearts, do you believe that he or she is the only one? So if you kind of in a relationship and you really don't, you really question some things, like, is this person necessarily for me? I mean, I think that's part of it. I think sometimes we don't know sometimes until certain things happen. And sometimes things happen so we'll know, Or sometimes it's just the emotions part of it. And sometimes the emotions part of it pulls everybody together, but then after the emotions are done with, for example, if someone gets hospitalized and you realize, oh, my God, this is the person that I want to be with for the rest of my life, and then after they heal up and get out the hospital, then you're looking at them like, oh, my God, this is not the person I want to be with. So that's a, you know, so those things are differently. I'm not talking about the emotions part of it. I'm not talking about something that happens to make you believe and see that this person may or may not be for it. But what I'm saying is in the back of your mind, when you wake up next to this body and you smelling their breath and you smelling their ishimiyaki, what are your thoughts on that? What do you think that this person is somebody that you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with? Do you get tired of them all the time? Do you, or you're like, oh, my God, they're here again? So that's kind of when you know the stuff is sinking. So if you can't really see yourself with this person, I'm not even just talking about, and I know some of us will say, well, I'm not just talking about marriage on paper. I'm not just talking about lifelong partners, but I'm just talking about, do you see yourself with this person? Can you see yourself 10 years down the line with this person? Let's take it a step further. Can you see the person 5 years down the line? Can you see your person? Can you see yourself with this person two more years down the line, right? And it gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And, of course, if you can't see yourself in the mirror with this person, if you don't see some of these qualities that you always appreciate about this person, then it might be over, okay? So anyway, in this particular article, of course, they do list more, and they talk about this thing about, you know, is this person the one for just right now? So this, some of this stuff is kind of vague. So if that person is obviously just for right now, then guess what they are? They are just for right now. You have to look at it. How do you think about that? How do you, you know, and obviously you're going to need some time away. Sometimes you have to take some time away. If it's just a weekend, if it's a day, if it's just thoughts and meditation where you need to meditate by yourself and really think about these kinds of questions, because if you're questioning that, then obviously there is definitely a problem. So here's some more things that they say. I'm not going to do all the article because some of this I don't necessarily agree with because some of it's kind of vague, but I do have more. So the next one reads, do you begin to question yourself about this relationship? Do you begin to question, like, here, what's next? Where are we going? What are we going to do? And kind of thing. And I mean, and those, of course, and that's one of the things about this article now. I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning where you're going in a relationship. The problem is when you can't answer it. That's where the problem lies. That's definitely where the problem lies. If you can't answer, like, where do we go from here? I really don't know. Or that person doesn't even have an answer for you, what their life goals are. And they don't know how to bring about in telling you that they feel like you aren't going anywhere. So that's definitely something that you are going to have to really look at. Because if you are questioning, and if that person doesn't have an answer for you, then, woo, that's bad. That's real bad. Okay, so let's talk about some other ways, okay? Let's talk about the sex. If the sex is off, let's say that when you first got with that person, 1 month, you know, it was excellent. You saw stars, diamonds, cows and bears and, you know, and all these great things, right? And then you're like, yeah, that's what's up. Then the second year, you're like, man, what is he doing or what is she doing or who are they thinking about? And I'm talking about a consecutive year of horrible sex, right? Then there's obviously a problem. Because, again, relationships are not all about sex, but a lot of things in a relationship that does involve having sex. So if you're not compatible, maybe the person's no longer attracted to you sexually or physically or mentally, or maybe you really said some poor things to that person before y'all got busy, and then that person felt really, you know, distraught, and they was able to perform, or maybe they're cheating, you know. So it's a lot of different ways. So, but definitely if the sex is off, then that is definitely a ding, 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 especially as a consecutive year. After a consecutive year, wow, you all really need to think about that relationship when the sex is off, okay? And also, let's talk about this. Another thing is, let's say that you all are connecting, y'all chilling. Let's say if y'all haven't, y'all in the same room and y'all don't even talk or communicate, or you feel like that person is really doing something and y'all doing two separate topics all the time and y'all not having any type of dialogue with one another. Y'all not communicating, y'all not even smiling at each other, y'all not trying to do anything that's going to, you know, bring attention to one another. Because, again, you can be in the same room, but be in two different worlds, right? So part of a relationship is you definitely, although you might be in the same room, you might be doing two different things, you still want to, you know, check on that person. That's what loved ones do. Like, hey, you okay? Even when you're with your children, you know, if you have children, you always want to check on them. Like, hey, what you doing? Okay, that's interesting. Mom, what you doing? Daddy, what you doing? That kind of thing, you know. We all check on each other. But when you're to the point where you're not checking on them, you're not involved, they're not including you, you're bored, you'd rather put your earphones on and not communicate with them and get more into what you're doing, and you're more entertained by, for example, I don't know, social media than you are with what they're talking about, and you're not even sharing with them, like, hey, this is what this person said on social media, ha-ha. And you're so involved into that, and you're not caring nothing about what they're saying, their well-being, their energy, and you're not tapping into none of that, then, woo, that's a kind of a bad sign. And that's, maybe you want to reexamine that, relook at that, reevaluate, re-something, redo, re-know, and know what's up, okay? And another thing, this is, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. And this is woman and man. And I've seen a lot of, statistically, I've seen more men do this. Women, you know, they do it too. Don't get it twisted. But I've seen more men do this. When you are kind of near a breakup and they just don't have a heart to exactly tell you, hey, it's over, it's over. I've seen them do this. They don't want to have they avoid talking about future plans, which I kind of mentioned that of earlier. So, you know, when you're sitting there, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, six months from now, my mom's, you know, working on her third marriage or whatever, or this, my cousin's having a wedding. You know, we're going to go and this and this and that. And they're kind of looking at you like, you might want to hold off on that, or they don't want to talk about it, or if you start talking to them about, like, yeah, I want to go to the Essence Awards 5 months down the line or a year from now, or they kind of looking at you like, I don't necessarily want to talk to you. I don't necessarily, you know, and they're evading the conversation. And they're not really having this conversation with you. And they're all like, well, yeah, okay, all righty then. And they're not really, you know, wanting to talk to you about the future, or they want to ask you about your birthday. Like, if you plan next year, you'd be like, hey, I want you to throw me a birthday party next year. And they're kind of like, yeah, well, I don't necessarily think that's a good idea. Well, why? And they don't really want to talk to you, you know, or whatever, dealing with any type of future. When you're talking about him, you or her or him or whoever you are, right? If they're evading that and they don't want to talk about that, then maybe you need to have a real conversation and ask them, like, hey, why won't you talk about the future with me? You know why they don't want to talk about the future with you? Well, they probably don't see a future with you. And so that's something that you definitely, you know, it's like a, it's definitely a painful realization that you're talking, you're planning you and this person's whole entire future together, and this person is basically like, no. So that's just something you definitely want to really reevaluate once again. Okay, here's another one. This kind of goes to the thing. You know how when you first meet a person, you're kicking with them, you're enjoying their company, y'all hugging, y'all still taking those long walks, that 3 months, 5 months, 10 months, maybe even 2 years, maybe 10 years, maybe even 20 years. And that person no longer wants to hold your hand in public. That person don't even want to hold your hand at home. That person doesn't want to kiss you and give you that soft, juicy kiss on the lips. They're like, hold on, stop. You know what I mean? And you know, your breath is not stinky, you know? They just don't want to kiss you. They don't want to have anything to do with you regarding... They don't want to have anything to do with you regarding any type of affection. And hey, guess what that's letting you know? That is letting you know that, damn it, they don't want any type of affection. They don't want a hug from you. They make up some lousy excuse that they might say, like, you know, well, I'm a vegetarian. I don't like garlic. All of a sudden, they don't like garlic anymore, you know. Or they're like, well, I'm a vegetarian and you eat meat, so I don't want to be dealing with that and stuff. Any type of emotional, if they're shut off emotionally, when you go to hug them, you might be sorry about something. Somebody might have died or something might have happened, and you cry and bawl your eyes out, and they just look at you like, what? Hello? Maybe it's over. Maybe it's over. They don't want to embrace you. They don't care. It may be time for you to move the hell on. Okay, here's another thing. And this is one of these things that's kind of subjectable. When we talk about the whole daydreaming concept, if a person just, every time you're talking to them, they always daydreaming about something. They always disconnected from you. They always into everything else that's outside of you. And you're trying to talk to them. You're trying to get to know them. You're asking them questions. You're telling them this. You're telling them that. And they just start, looking off into the sky. And they start thinking about every damn thing else but what the hell you talking about. Then maybe you need to rethink, you know, well, hell, what's wrong with you? What's on your mind where you can't even listen to me? And you'll start talking to them. This is all the time. This is for a while now. That's because they're uninterested or disinterested in what you have to say at this stage. So that's definitely some scary stuff, right, in a committed relationship. Here's another. When you all are always arguing, always fighting, constantly, on a consistent basis, every time you turn around, you all are getting into it about something or another, something on the floor. You didn't clean up today. You left your drawers out. You left your shoes on the floor. You left your panties on the floor. Why didn't you wash clothes? What did you put in the dryer? What did you put in the washing machine? Who washed the last dish? Who ate the last piece of cake? Why did you leave the door open? I left the door open. I didn't leave the door open. Well, somebody had to leave the door open. You get what I'm saying. You get the gist of it, right? Because I can go all day with that. Because I've been there. So when you have that kind of situation where y'all arguing about nothing, or sometimes y'all may be arguing about some big stuff, but y'all arguing all the time about some things that's really important in your relationship. That person, you might be arguing about this. You might be arguing about that, okay? So it's not unhealthy to have a difficult conversation. And sometimes there can be, you know, in a revolutionary type of situation, sometimes you all can't argue in a very strong tone. But that doesn't mean that it's a thing where y'all basically saying it's over, y'all out of there, and this and this and that. It's just sometimes, you know, you might have to work through it. Sometimes you gotta, it's like a sore. Yesterday, I poured some CarMax on my face. On my lip. I was really desperate. Of course, guess what the CarMax did? The CarMax basically broke me out, right? And that's why I normally don't use corn mix, but, you know how it is, ladies. You don't want to have that ashy Larry lip. But anyway, so what happens is, in order for, sometimes you have to go through the pain, and, you know, you got to put the stuff on it to heal it, to work it through, and sometimes it may hurt a bit. Sometimes, you know, you got to get to the pus. You got to, well, I didn't have no pus come out. That's just nasty. But y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to go through, because it has to heal that wound. So you put that, I got essential oil. So you put that essential oil on there, and you pour it on there, and you allow it to relax, and don't keep picking at it, because, you know, knowing me, you know, I kept picking it, right? So, you know, same thing with an argument. You don't want to keep picking at it. You want to kind of resolve things, and sometimes you too might have to go in your corner like a fight, like an actual boxing match. You might have to go in a corner, succeed for a second, and then come back to it, and then kind of battle it back out. But it doesn't have to be battled out in a destructive way. You can definitely do it in a constructive way, right? But when it's to the point where you all can't even resolve things, and it's horrible, it's intense, it's nasty, and you all don't even see who each other is and don't even care about what the other person has to say, and you thinking about what you're going to say next as opposed to really hearing that person at all, then damn, that's some stuff, ain't it? It's to the point where you don't have desire to sort or work anything out, when you just like the hell with that. I don't want to deal with that. And I mean, whatever you got to say doesn't even matter. It's beneath me. And you leave, they leave for a couple of hours, sometimes days, sometimes weeks, and sometimes even damn months, where nobody wants to really talk to each other. And so that began to get really negative. So that's how you kind of know that some things is kind of over with, right? You know? All right. Here's another thing. This is kind of what I was touching on. When you don't give a damn about what the person has to say, you're not interested in nothing, their activities, their day, how they are doing, what they wore, what they're about to do, you know, things like that. Anything, any interest in them whatsoever, it don't even matter, right? So that's how you also know that it's just a lot of indifferences. When you don't really care about what they're talking about. How about this? When you don't even respect them no damn more. You're like, I don't respect this fool. And you calling all your friends and your family, and they just talking about, you just talking about them to them about how this person ain't doing this, that person ain't doing this, how the person is and how the person does and whatever. And you just fed up. You are done. You're just, God, why? Why did I enter this relationship, right? And then, of course, this is definitely something that a lot of us have dealt with, right? The cheating aspect. When you are cheating, when that person is cheating or you are cheating, that's sometimes in some people's relationship and some people's world, they're like, well, you don't even respect me enough to break up with me. You don't respect me enough to let me know that I'm not doing something right. You don't respect me enough to, you know, to try to fix our relationship, rather than you rather go and start seeing somebody else. Wow, good going, buddy. That sure made me feel good, right? So that's definitely one. That's definitely one of those ones where you're like, man, this, you know, this person don't even care about me, you know, enough to go and see somebody, seek some other attention from somebody else, kissing somebody else, touching someone else, communicating with someone else. So, yeah, that can be deep in some relationships. Some people, that's a no-no, that's a one-on-one rule, and that's a way to get you out of somebody's life, right? When the communication is broken down, when you can't talk to that person anymore, when you keep forgetting to talk to them, when you can barely stand to look at that person, when there are certain things that you all are at different points in your lives and y'all have two separate situations, man, that is certainly a definite thing. When you don't give a damn about what they're talking about, none of the stuff that they say means anything. and you are just at a different point in your life where you have evolved. When you have evolved, people grow apart. Sometimes that's when it's over, and you don't care to try to include them in, and you just, like, you're not really happy. And when you're not happy with a person, right, ain't that really one right there? When you're just not even happy with that person, and you don't want to have nothing, a whole lot to do with that person, and you find yourself not really excited anymore about, you know, your relationship, and you really are not fascinated about moving to the next level with that person and not looking at things in the proper manner. So that's definitely something when you, you're happier being alone than to be with that person. When that person comes home from work, you're like, God, why are you here? Why are you still here? When are you leaving? When you look forward to them going to work and you're always having your me time, when your me time is more important than your we time, you know? When your we, let me say this again, because I thought that's a pretty cool one, right? When your we time is better than your me time, okay? That's how you know maybe it's kind of over. And that's when it's that unfortunate period when you look into that person's eyes and you like, what the hell am I still doing here for? And you also begin to lose hope in the future. When you start to see things in a different light, when you're not exactly in the same zone, when you start doing family activities, if that person is spending time with their parents more than spending time with you or a brother or sister, and they're not inviting you to come around and get into what they want to do, or when they start doing a lot of activities, a lot of like, you know, like shooting darts, like bowling, and you're not invited ever and they don't want you to come down there. That's sometimes cheating, you know. Sometimes they can be cheating, or sometimes they can be like, shit, I want to do this by myself. I don't want you there. This is my time for me, and I don't need you in my life. I would rather be doing this than to be sitting up there with you. So that is definitely something in that. So you definitely have, that's definitely something you have to really think about. You know, when time gets like that, when you get to the point where you can no longer tolerate that person's energy. And the jokes, hey, how about this? When the jokes that they used to tell yesterday are no longer funny. And even if as a joke, you think all their jokes are stupid. You think everything that they say and do is just stupid and dumb. And you would rather them not to talk to you anymore. You would rather them to go and do something else besides do you. That's also how you know this stuff is kind of over with. When they don't laugh at your jokes anymore. When they don't think you're funny. When the little stuff you did yesterday was cute, you might have brushed up against them a certain type of way. And now that you're brushing up against them a certain type of way still, that's no longer useful to you. That no longer makes you happy when that person doesn't care to entertain you anymore. Sometimes, more than likely, sometimes people entertain other people. You know what I mean? Sometimes others are entertained fairly, right? Not always. Everybody don't always have to go out and seek the company of another person, you know? But sometimes people do. Hey, hold on 1 second. So you also find yourself when you really trying to figure out some things, when you're unable to talk to that person about how you feel. And you feel like your heart is just not in it anymore. That's another way. Man, it's powerful. When a person also feels like they can't confide in you no more or tell you things, when they can't tell you their deepest feelings anymore, and when they don't feel like they can trust you anymore at all, when they're going through all of your emails, when they don't believe nothing you have to say, and you've been honest with them, and you've done all that you can do with them, you've been an open book for them, and they still don't believe you, that's powerful. When your partner is kind of like, is no longer a sounding board from you. For example, when you're coming home from work and you had a rough day and your partner's like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about that. Every time you come home, every time you say something, it's always negative. Why are you always negative? I'm tired of that. Why do you always have to do what you do, when you do? Okay? And that's definitely, you know, something to understand. When you no longer can talk to your partner, that's what I was kind of touching in on. I'm glad I finished that thought. When you think it's time to break up, that's always a sign. When your partner definitely tells you to stop contacting their family members, you know, for whatever. When the family stop talking to you as much, because somebody knows something before you do. So the family member, so you start calling the family members. You might have called the mom, or you might have lunch with the mom. Y'all might get ready to be able to go out and do something spectacular. But of course, the mom reneges or something, or the parents renege, and y'all not really doing as much family dinners like y'all used to do. So that's something to definitely look at. They're canceling family dinners over you, or your mate is going over to the family dinners and leaving you at home and going, oh, and not telling you where you're going, where they're going necessarily. Or maybe they are, but basically they're excluding you out. I kind of mentioned that earlier, but I want to get more in touch with that, right? So when a person also always constantly threatens to leave you if you don't do this or you don't do that. I mean, every day. I mean, you can do no good. Every time you do something, it's not good enough for them. You know, you cook dinner, you did the best that you could, you've been cooking like that, and they're always complaining about the stuff that you've done. And all of a sudden, the stuff that you've done was never good enough. The stuff that you are, just, you know, whatever you do, your cooking is not good enough. What you got on is not good enough. They complain every single thing and about everything, okay? They make you feel like they have other options to do besides you, okay? Well, I could have stayed with Jimmy, or I could have stayed with LaQuisha. I could have stayed with Rebecca, you know? I didn't have to go through all of this with you. Okay, that's negative, ain't it? When it comes, definitely so, these are definitely some signs. These are some hard signs. When you walk in, let me give you a good one. When you walk in and you catch your mate interacting, they dealing with somebody else. That's definitely usually a sign of it's over, right? Okay. Let's see. Let me come up with some more. So anyway, I'm definitely taking some callers. And if anybody or inboxes, if anybody else has an email address that they, I'm sorry, not email address. If anybody want to inbox me on Facebook, I said I was going to do a live, but hey, I changed my mind. I didn't feel like doing a live. So if anybody have any questions, definitely feel free to, if you're on the internet, definitely feel free to inbox me. And I'll be happy to answer any questions in regards to that, any type of relationship. Ask a question, any kind of question. So definitely log on to what I'm talking about. So anyway, while I wait for more questions, I did get one question. Let me see. Let me read this inbox. I know y'all heard some go, dee, dee, dee. That was an inbox question. Okay. Let me see. Give me 1 second. Okay, after you break up with somebody, how are you, this is an after breakup conversation. I'll answer that, that's no problem, but it says, how do you know when you are fully when you're fully over a person? Well, when you go less and less thinking about that person's name, when, you know, you don't feel a certain kind of way, like you don't get goosebumps or you don't get anger or upset about that person. You're kind of just like, somebody mentions that person's name and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, it's cool. You know what I mean? You're not worried about it. It doesn't make you feel any kind of way. You're just like, oh, okay, that's good. I don't really want, or you can even, just because you say you don't want to talk about a person, that's something you just don't want to talk about. That's cool. But if it's to the point where you can't function by the mere mention of that person's name, it makes you feel some kind of way, whether it's anger, sadness, hatred, or whatever, that's how you know when you're not really over that person. When you or moved on with other people and you still think about that person, you may be dealing with somebody else and you might accidentally call that person that other person's name, right? So that's another way. I mean, who in the hell want to be dealing with somebody that is still in that relationship mode with somebody else and you're trying to start a new with them, right? So that's how you know also, okay? Let's see. So, I mean, that was just a couple of examples. But definitely if you need help in going through that relationship, going through ending a relationship or starting one, or getting over one, you can definitely reach your Revolutionary Master Healer at 502-208-9142. That is my business number for Ask Life Coaching Ministries. And you know what I did not mention to you all? Here's the call-in number if you have any questions. Well, I was asking if you had any questions. 646-668-2159. I have a lot of my guests on here that's listening. They said they do not want to press the number one, but they would inbox me questions because they don't want people to know who they are. And that's okay. Again, the call-in number is 646-668-2159. Okay. Here are a few more questions that I just got inboxed. I'm sorry, I had to cut it down because it was kind of loud. I didn't want to y'all to go beep, 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 beep. Oh, I have another one before I answer that question. When you're trying to get therapy for your relationship that's needing help and that person refuses to go to therapy with you or refuses to sit down with a third party to try and work it out, or when a person doesn't want to work it out in general, that's how you also know that it's over, okay? When a person make a laundry list of things that they should be doing rather than spend time with you, when the time of you all gets less, and then when you all are spending time, it feels more like an obligation that they're doing just as a favor for you, or when they're on their phone and they're thinking about something else, and they're showing you with actions that they'd rather be somewhere else other than being there with you. Okay, give me 1 second. Let me read this all the way. It says, my boyfriend is always gossiping with his family about me. I did kind of mention that. Well, my question is, what exactly is he saying in regards to the gossiping? Like, is he saying that you don't want to work, you know what I mean? Is it something that you're not doing? I'm sorry, I'm kicking in on my reading. I'm reading you, but I'm not going to do that. So, again, it does depend on what he's exactly saying, what is he saying. But my question to you is, has he always been like that? Is that something he's always done before you all got married? Has he always gossiped about you when you all were dating? Because if he always did that, then that's typically just his M.O. I mean, if it bothered you that much, why have you tolerated this long? So that's something that maybe he doesn't know that bothers you. Maybe you should have brought that to his attention like a long time ago when you all were dating and told him, hey, this bothers me. I mean, everybody's not a mind reader. And if there's an issue, we have to start really effectively communicating and telling each other what is really bothering one another. So how would that person know that they're really bothering you or that this bothers them. That's just their MO. I mean, another question to you is, do they gossip to family members about each other? Because if they, again, that's his, part of his MO. Let's see, I have another question. Give me 1 second here. Trying to read this. Okay. My husband broke up with me about 5 months ago, and he wants to know, and he was cheating on me with somebody that he was working with, and that relationship did not work out, or he's saying that he realized that it was going to go nowhere, so now he wants to get back with me. What should I do? Well, that's just kind of one of those questions. I mean, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay in the relationship where basically he wants to be back with you because it didn't work out with his mistress or, you know, the person he was with? I mean, that's something that you have to ask yourself. I mean, I can't necessarily, I would definitely get into the life coaching, and I can certainly help you work through that. If you're having problems in trying to decide, I would definitely be happy to help you with that. And you can, of course, call me at 502-208-9142, and I'll definitely be happy to help you with that problem. That's not a problem. I definitely would be happy to work through that with you. So, yeah, that's one of those situations where again, he might also need my services as well, and I can definitely set up something separately for you all together. I can work with you all together regarding that, and I can do some sessions separately with you because I think you definitely really would need that because sometimes it's hard for us to communicate or to gather our thoughts, and sometimes it's hard for him to really communicate and gather his thoughts because he may not have exactly meant it, that, you know, in that wording of things. Or it may be a real bigger picture. He might have an MO of doing this, or, you know, something may have really happened traumatic for him, or he's just a dog and selfish and narcissistic. So, again, you know, I can definitely help you to go through these things to work this out, to figure out exactly what steps you would like to take in your marriage. If you want to keep your marriage or, of course, end it, I'll be happy to work with you on that. Let's see, I have another question. My husband is a Jehovah's Witness, and I converted recently, and after being a Jehovah's Witness, I do not like it. My husband says if I quit being a Jehovah's Witness, then he would definitely divorce me. Yes. That is definitely a tough one. That's another one of those situations because, again, you can't live a lie, you know. But I have to ask you, do you love your husband, you know? Do you love your husband, and does your husband love you? It sounds like they're, and this is just my opinion because you asked me. So it sounds like your husband loves you. He doesn't love you. He loves you unconditionally with conditions. So the condition, based upon the condition, if you stay in the religion, he will work with you through anything. Is that basically what you're saying? But if you leave the religion, then, of course, he's going to divorce you outright. And he says, like, it's no ifs, ands, whatsoever. That's what you're saying. That's what you're typing out now. Okay. So you have a decision to make because, again, you have to live your truth. You can't live in a lie. You can't stay in a religion or any situation and it does not give you happiness or fulfillment. And I'm not, of course, judging anybody's religious background, belief, or what have you. But if you're just not happy, you're just not happy. I mean, what else can you do at this stage? You have to find some true happiness. And if that is not making you happy, then you definitely have some decisions that you have to make and some soul searching. And I can certainly work through that with you. And I want to tell you that you definitely need to talk with your husband and just explain to him that you're really not happy in that. But me knowing, you know, the if he's a strict Jehovah's Witness, then he's very serious. And I have a belief that, you know, if you leave, he's going to divorce you. But still, if you love your husband enough to sincerely talk with him and try to see if you all can possibly work it out, because if it's just, if I don't want to say it in that form, like if it's just this, but if it's dealing with religions, people have fought wars and died and, you know, did a lot of insanity things based off religious beliefs in the name of religion in their minds. And of course, everybody have a lot right to their own belief, and they don't want to go against it. So that of course, does make sense. However, definitely talk with him. And if you definitely need some help and he is insisting on getting a divorce, then, you know, definitely my sister, I'm definitely here for you, so that's not a problem. And, of course, we're winding down. Within the next 8 minutes, I'll be wrapping up this show. I got some more questions. Wow, you all are really popping up my inbox. I don't know why y'all just don't call in the radio show, but that's okay. That's okay. I work with my people where you are, right? Okay. The next question is, give me 1 second. Last year, my husband committed suicide. He left me with 8 children. And I'm very upset. I have lost a total of 100 pounds. I barely eat. I have not gotten over it. I've tried to date. It's not that me and my husband didn't even have a good relationship before he passed on, but I still really miss him. And all I have left is my children. And I'm not saying that my children are a bad thing, because they are a good thing, but, you know, I would still give anything to have him back. Is there a way that you can help me through that? I'm willing to try. Absolutely. Absolutely. All you have to do is book an appointment. Oh, and you're local. Great. 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 So, I'm going to inbox you the healing address, the Healing Center at Life Coaching Ministries healing address. But you can definitely call me at 502-208-9142. But all I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm going to ask you to do a breathing exercise, a short one. So what you're going to do is get really concentrated, focus on nothing. You're going to relax your mind. You're going to breathe in through your nose, and you're going to push your stomach out as you're breathing in, just like an air balloon, just like a regular balloon you're blowing into. And as the balloon expands, which is your stomach, you're going to allow it to expand to its fullest capacity until it can go no more. Once you receive that fullness, you're going to blow out that breath with the mouth. As you're pushing that air out, you're going to pull your stomach inward as if you're holding your stomach in because your belly's too big type of deal. And until all that air has gotten out of your stomach, you're going to do that a total of 4 times. And then you're going to relax, okay? So I can offer that to you right now. That's until we can talk. But I'm definitely here for you. We can do an earliest appointment. We can do an earliest appointment at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. And I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for listening, sis. Let's see. I have another question. Wow, okay. I'm glad I cut this down. It's going to be going off. I have HIV. My husband's mistress gave it to us. And I've recently been diagnosed, and I'm just not happy. should I stay with my husband or should I leave him? Okay, that's another one of those situations, and these are very good questions. But again, I am a person, again, as I told you all previous show, that I'm a person who would never tell anyone to leave someone, but I can certainly be of help to help you to work through whatever your decision is. So there's no easy fix. There's no easy question. It's easy for me to say, sure, go ahead and leave them, right? I could say that, but do you think that would that necessarily solve your dilemma? Because then we have to work through going, you know, and healing from them. So what I can say is that whatever you decide, I'm willing to help you to work through that decision. Again, 502-208-9142. Oh, you would like to book an appointment? Okay, well, I'm booked tomorrow, but I can certainly take you on Friday at 12 p.m. Noonish? Cool. All right. Now, let's see. Okay, I'm going to take this one last question. Okay, give me one second. I'm trying to read this correct. I want to make sure I read this correctly. I don't want to bypass anyone and what someone's saying. Okay, it states, what is my opinion on Trump? I don't have an opinion on Trump. Anyway, let's see. Okay, you have another question. Fine, I'll answer another question. Please don't ask me that again, because you already know. Let's see. What are my thoughts on polygamy? Well, I think I know that we practice polygamy in our native land, right? Do I think it's room for polygamy? I think each individual household has to decide that. If a household is ready for polygamy, sure, absolutely. I don't have a bad thought about polygamy. Some of my clients are polygamists, and I certainly help them to organize their life. And it's for some people, and others just it's not for. So I don't have anything negative to say about polygamy. Let's see. You have one more question. Okay. The last question of the night. What are my thoughts on entering a relationship? Really taking time to get to know that person and not just their representative. That's the first thought. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate every one of you all. And thank you, and you all have a blessed day. Namashet. My number is 502-208-9142, and my website is www.ask314life.com. And all you have to do is book an appointment with me, and I'll be happy to work with you all, and have a lovely day.
Yeah. For all my people that's hungry.
Got to have food for your health and clothes. Here to keep a scene for yourself, son, shelter. A place to lay for rest when you stress over life. Cause it's strife and ain't no God. I feel the winter heart creeping.
Vicious is the wind, which is life when it's deep without a meaning. A tripe scene of screams, niggas fiending. The pipe dream is some be seeming like the only way to keep breathing in the slums. But nothing comes, and keeping funds is like dreaming. My situation, no solution. Even the young become demons. Where I'm from, shit is unyielding. Something like 300 million gun wielding. Black rats trapped in one building with low ceilings and no feelings. Cutthroat villains, dope villains, and glossy eyes of villains. Sucking faces and powder traces. My people slaves for the basics. The powerless devouring in a matrix of politics, pimps, and glass pipes. From gun blasts to kicking off blunt ass to cash heights. The fast life where the have not rules. Sick and grab plots, totin' tools, pick a last spot for jewels round the world. You stay stuck in captives, shackled, and crackers got homes like castles. I figure the only way this nigga got to go is wild plot and look for liberation. Stock and cap sad.
A nigga need food. You got to have food for your health and clothes. Get a keep a steam.